Good evening. I'm Robert Schuller, and welcome to The Call, which is a part of our Robert Schuller Ministries, a church with no walls. Well, we're here to give you some inspiration, some encouragement, some hope, and to share this call, whether you're listening via telephone, Facebook Live, YouTube, or on our podcast.
And good evening. I'm Donna Schuller, and we're so glad you're here again this evening. And we have a very special guest this evening. We're not going to introduce him quite yet, but just to remind you, we do take questions a little later, so you can write them in the Facebook comment section if you're on Facebook. Or if you're on the phone, you can click star and the number 6 when we start taking questions a little bit later in our program, and we'll remind you about that star 6 when we get going. So, Robert, do you want to...
Well, first of all, I want to say hi to Lindy. I know she's on the call tonight.
She is. We're glad. And our special guest is on there, but we're not going to introduce him quite yet.
Nope. We're going to get to that pretty soon. So anyway, we just want to say that God loves you and so do we, and this is our time. We do this every 15th of every month at 6 p.m. Pacific time.
We do, and we consider this part of our teaching ministry because we always have a really interesting topic, almost always about health, mental health, physical health, or emotional or spiritual health. So this is one of our favorite nights. We've been doing this for about 8 years, and we've done this from all over the globe, no matter where we are. This is what we do. We host the call on the 15th of every month. And
6 p.m. Pacific time.
Exactly. So tonight, like I said, we have a really great guest we're going to introduce in just a few minutes. But Robert's going to start out by reading scripture because this is one of our online church services, if you will. So we pray together. And gosh, we sure do need prayer these days. I don't know how many of you have been out to the grocery store. It is crazy.
Well, it depends on where you live.
Crazy. Yeah, I know. It's crazy in California.
Live.
People have literally gone nuts.
I just got back from Houston yesterday. Actually, it was yesterday morning. I got up at 3:30 in the morning in order to make my flight. And it was California time, 3:30, 5:30 Houston time. But I went out there to speak to an organization called CAP, which stands for a Coalition of African American Pastors. And they asked me to come and speak there. And so I hopped on an airplane. So we flew Thursday. We're on an airplane on Thursday. Then we flew from south of the border. We were 800 miles south of San Diego. We flew to San Diego. Then the next day I flew from Orange County to Houston. The next day I flew from Houston to Orange County. So this is the first day in a bunch of days that I haven't been on an airplane.
Yeah.
And so anyway, it doesn't matter what God calls us. If God calls us to do something, we do it. And I've got to be honest with you. God, if I had a church of gathering people in a building, we would have had services this morning, and I would have said, anyone who's concerned about this virus, stay home. You can watch on Facebook Live. Otherwise, I would have done it that way. But anyway, I just believe that God has called us to put Him first. And if you do that, everything falls into place. And so
I agree.
After all, that's how the Ten Commandments start. It says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. He comes number one. And so that's where I like to put him. And if he tells me to do something, I do it. I'm familiar with the story of Jonah. Remember the story of Jonah? Jonah and the whale?
Are you asking me?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm asking you. You're familiar with the story of Jonah?
Yes.
And God told Jonah to go and talk to this one community. And he didn't like him. He didn't want to go. Mm-hmm. So he tried running away, and he landed up getting swallowed by a whale.
Right. We spent a lot of time on the ocean. We saw whales last week. So
we did.
That's a real scary thought.
Yeah.
Actually,
it says it was a giant fish, but a giant fish, a whale, I don't think they didn't do the biological research to make sure whether it was a whale or a fish. It was, but no matter what it was, that's what happened. So Anyway, my camera is saying we have, okay, connection available. It said that we have a low connection for a minute.
Weird. Okay.
And that's because I'm on the internet. I thought we might get a stronger connection than if I was on using my cell. So I thought we might get a better picture. So hopefully that's all working. So, hey, welcome Mark this morning,
yeah,
and Dana and Sandy. Let's see who else joined us. Oh, boy, we got a whole bunch. Linnell and
Adora.
And Adora. And
too many things there.
Let's see. Oh, Sandy. Hi, Sandy. And Lynn. Debbie. Good to see you.
And Judith.
So those are the ones we noticed. There's a whole bunch more on there, but those are the ones we see right now. But one of the things I want to do is I want to read a scripture because, we're in a really interesting time this week, especially in Southern California. When I was in Houston, there wasn't any concerns. There wasn't any runs on the stores, and people weren't concerned. Here in Orange County, the stores are empty. Well, my daughter showed me some pictures of Trader Joe's, which is a really popular produce department, and the shelves, everything was completely empty. So we haven't gone shopping yet because we're not about to stand in those lines. We're not about to participate in this hysteria and in this pandemonium.
We were out of shelves. So we did order. Yeah. We did order online from Amazon, Whole Foods, which typically takes 2 hours. We ordered at 11 a.m. on Friday. I did when he was out of town in Houston. And usually they come within 2 hours. The first available was tonight between 7 and 9. So we're getting by with a little bit of stuff that we've had. We freeze a lot of our vegetables when we go away, so we make smoothies when we get back. So we're great.
Yeah, we're good.
Everybody's good.
God is good. All's good.
God is great.
Yeah, he'll take care of us. I'm not worried at all. So with that in mind, let me read from Psalm 147. Praise the Lord. That's a good thing to do. How good is it to sing praises to our God? How pleasant and fitting to praise him. He heals the brokenhearted, binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars and calls them each by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. The Lord sustains the humble. Sing to the Lord with grateful praise. Make music to our God on the harp. He covers the sky with clouds. He supplies the earth with rain. He makes grass grow on the hills. He provides food for the cattle and for the young ravens when they call. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. He sends his commands to the earth. His word runs swiftly. He spreads the snow like wool and scatters the frost like ashes. He sends his word and melts them. He stirs up his breezes and the waters flow. Praise the Lord, the word of God.
That's amazing. Scripture, so great. You know, what a great strength, what great strength we can find in this book, like for any situation. And we're glad to have you on tonight. We have, like we said, an amazing interview guest. I'd like to open with a prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that you have given us not a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind, Lord. We thank you for the people that were on our online church service this morning. We thank you for the messages that we hear that are positive and hope-filled and just so good for our minds and our brains, and that would in turn teaches our body to turn on its immune system. And we know, Lord, that with you, we can fight everything. We have a shield of protection around us. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for our guest tonight. And we ask everything in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. So you have
yes,
a bio that you want to read?
I have an amazing person to.
This is a dear friend, and we have known him for a very long time.
Long, long time.
And
tonight we have the privilege and the honor of interviewing someone we've known for many, many years. You've known him more years than I have. I've known him probably 30 years. We've been married 35 years, so I think I met him shortly after we married.
I may
have known, and you've known him probably a lot longer. But Dennis Waitley has inspired, informed, challenged, and entertained audiences for over 25 years, from the boardrooms of multinational corporations to the locker rooms of world-class athletes in the meeting rooms of thousands of conventioneers throughout the world. He was recently voted the Business Speaker of the Year by Sales and Marketing Executives Association and by Toastmasters International, and he was also inducted into the International Speakers, I obviously wasn't, Hall of Fame. I can't spit it out today. It's a lot. I mean, this is only a little bit about him. So just a little bit more because
you're trying to edit it a little bit.
With over 10 million, did you hear that? 10 million audio programs sold in 14 languages. Dennis Waitley is one of the most listened to voices on personal and career success. He's the author of 16 nonfiction books, including several international bestsellers. Seeds of Greatness, which is on my top list when people ask me what are my most life-changing favorite books of all time.
It's on the top 10?
It's on the top two
Five?
Or three. Oh, yeah,
wow.
Definitely in the top one.
Yeah.
So Seeds of Greatness, Being the Best, The Winner's Edge, The Joy of Working, and Empires of the Mind. His audio album, The Psychology of Winning, is the all-time best-selling program on self-mastery. Dennis Waitley has studied and counseled winners in every field, from Apollo astronauts to Super Bowl champions, from sales achievers to government leaders and youth groups. During the 80s, he served as chairman of psychology on the U.S. Olympic Committee's Sports Medicine Council, responsible for performance enhancement of all U.S. Olympic athletes. Dennis Waitley is a founding director of the National Council on Self-Esteem and the President's Council on Vocational Education, and recently received the Youth Flame Award from the National Council on Youth Leadership for his outstanding contribution to high school youth leadership. As president of the International Society for Advanced Education, inspired by Dr. Jonas Salk, he counseled returning POWs from Vietnam, and he conducted simulation and stress management seminars for Apollo astronauts. I mean, I cannot tell you how much we respect this man, how much we love this man, how much he's done for society, and what timing to have this great man on right now when people are just gripped in fear and anxiety. So, Robert, you want to start the conversation with Dennis? I know he's on.
Hi, Dennis. Are you there?
I'm there, you two, and I almost applauded because I didn't recognize who you were introducing. I'm also a very creative writer, so, you know, it's so humbling to be on with you because I love you two so much. We've been through a lot together over the years, and it's been a long time, but I'm so excited to be on with you on this very special evening.
Well, we're excited.
When I met Donna and we started dating, I don't think she had read too many positive books. I think she was a novel reader at the time, and I think I gave her – well, I think one of the first books I gave her was Seeds of Greatness.
It was.
And she fell in love with it. She fell in love with you because of it. And
I quote R2-D2 all the time. And we can talk about one of my pet peeves a little bit later.
Oh, we'll have to talk about him because I've renamed him R-U-Me-Too.
Oh, really? Wow, R-U-Me-Too. I like that.
R-U-Me-Too because you are me-too because that's who you program. And that's what you have looking, whether it's fear or desire. Little R-U-Me-Too or R2-D2 does exactly what he's told, and he looks for everything that is concerning you and me. So we have to make sure that he's programmed with positive software rather than negative.
I like that.
Yeah, if we download the negative, what comes out?
Well, we also look for it too. We've been programmed to build ratings because bad news sells. So anything that's negative is going to get the headlines because it improves rating, because everyone's watching, because they're watching out of the fact that they need to be negatively stimulated. That's why the movies that you see are so full of violence and negative, and they they have a shock effect. So our society is being spoon-fed violence and shock effect, and I think it's just a visceral response that we have, and that's why I try to stay on the sunny side of that street.
So are you saying that we shouldn't watch those kind of shows, or are you saying we shouldn't be concerned and looking for, because isn't that kind of a natural, innate human thought to watch out for the bears in the jungle and the tiger around the tree?
Absolutely, and I'm not saying to put on rose-colored glasses and look at life through Pollyanna. What I am saying is that advertisers and the people that control the media know exactly what stimulates human response, and it's a shock effect. So that's why movies have become more violent, and that's why language has become more shocking, because people get kind of bored with this nice way that we like to live. But need to know is the most important thing, and I believe in needing to know everything that will help me and my family. And when people ask me, and I've been asked virtually every day for the past month how I'm dealing with this, and the reason I've been asked is that I'm among the one half of 1% in the world that is the most likely to be impacted by the coronavirus because of my late age, because of my predisposition toward pneumonia and lung problems, and because I've had heart issues. So in my late 80s, I'm the one that has the X on his back, and yet I'm not hysterical. I'm not jumping off the cliff. I haven't thought about running out of toilet paper. And to echo what you two have said, you can't believe San Diego County. I mean, we must be tied into every news network, because I just went down to down to the store, and there are no paper products of any kind. There are no napkins, no paper plates. There's no frozen food. There's nothing on most of the produce shelves. So, in other words, everyone has their nuclear bomb shelter already stocked with everything in case of the nuclear attack. So, the media hype has definitely caused a response. Good news is we're more prepared and aware. The bad news is it's been an hysterical response, similar to what we did when the Cold War was on, and everyone built nuclear bomb shelters and stocked them with 2 years' supply of food. And the problem with that was you had to batten down the hatch, cost you $10,000 for the nuclear shelter, the bomb shelter.
That would be.
And then when you went down with your family, you probably wouldn't be able to come back out for a couple of years after the nuclear holocaust. So I've been through this since the Great Depression, World War II, the Korean War, the Vietnam War. Now, polio was the worst thing that we ever had when I was growing up. And I could go on this whole interview, but the polio thing is important for Southern Californians to understand, because in 1954, when Jonas Salk first developed the effective vaccine against the polio virus, there were, I believe, 6,000 children who died of poliomyelitis, and were either in, there were 30,000 in an iron lung, and many were crippled, including President Roosevelt, who had been crippled before. So it was so bad in the summer of the early 50s that we could not go swimming in a swimming pool. We could not go to a movie. We could not be in close quarters with anyone, could not take a drink out of a drinking fountain. So in the summer, we couldn't go to a movie or a pool, and if we went to the beach, we had to be very far away from everyone. So I've been there and done that with these pandemic problems, and I don't lessen the risk, because I'm at risk more than anybody on this call probably. But I'm doing things that are practical, reasonable, solution-oriented, and I'm praying a lot.
Yes. You're...
Well, You know, this morning I talked a little bit about the pandemic and the panic and the pandemonium, all of which share the first three letters of pan. And the pan, and that comes from the worship of the god, the ancient god Pan, who would, and the purpose of the worship was to get everybody in a frenzy. Therefore, you get these names, and that was their form of worship. And it was there at the temple of Pan that Jesus took his apostles and said, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter recognized him and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And so it's for that reason I come back and say, what God are we worshiping? Are we worshiping the God who created the heavens and the earth? Are we worshiping the God who cares for us, the God who loves us, the God who will fulfill our needs? Or are we gonna violate the very first commandment and put Pan, regardless of how you do it, a pandemic, a panic, or are we going to live fearless lives, which is what we have been told? Paul's told us that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. So
that's right. So my question, that's right. Well, you know, and also in the scriptures, you know, if you look at as a man and woman thinketh in their heart, as you look at sowing and reaping, and you have to really understand about as a man and woman thinketh in their heart, so are they. And all this idea of thoughts becoming things, it's so true that optimism is God's way of giving us the biology of hope. And faith is a two-edged sword. We either have faith or we have its opposite, which is despair. And the problem with despair is by thinking of worst case scenario, like they've been showing us on the media what worst case scenario is.
Right.
And saying it probably won't happen, but here's the worst case scenario. So they're planting that in the minds. And that's why this afternoon, after that news came out of worst case scenario, all of the stores in San Diego County ran out of virtually everything, because there was an immediate rush to Vons and all the stores. Some of my kids got caught up in it, and they called me, and I said, no, let's back off from this a minute. And I always have the optimism that the Lord has given me, that I expect the best. I plan for any eventuality. And I also expect to be surprised in some way. But I will never give in to the negative side, because it really does, believe it or not, precipitate the very thing that you're afraid of can come to pass. And that's why learned optimism and learned helplessness, in addition to prayer and faith, are so important. And I think when we were created, that's part of, you know, whether it's nurture or human nature, but it is human nature to be fearful that a dinosaur or a saber-toothed tiger might come, and instead of when we go out to look for something to eat, they may come and look to eat us. And so we've always had this fight or flee mechanism inside, but it's so hysterically been over-promoted because we're in an instant satellite virtual worldwide smartphone where everyone has the news all at once, and it's causing an absolute stampede. So I do have some very positive things to share with people, and I'm hoping they won't take me as being someone who is too optimistic, because I'm optimistic, and that's one thing that's kept my health so good, even though, gosh, the two of you may not realize it, but I'll be 87 in 2 months.
We did not know that. No,
I knew
you were older than we were.
So I've been traveling all over the world. I've been all over China. I haven't been to Wuhan for 18 months, but I've been in 100 Chinese cities in my middle 80s. And when I go there and talk to them, they say, you're a lot older than your voice.
Yes.
And I said, yes, I am. They said, did you go to school with Confucius? I said, no, he's 1,800 years old. I said, I'm only 800 years old. And so they say, you are so old and wise. And I think the reason I've gone all over the world is because in the Asian culture, they think old people still have something valuable to say.
Yes, they do. And they are correct. They are
well,
correct. Very correct.
You know, you two really do, you've had a tremendous impact on my life. And Robert, so has your father and mother. And I used to go on the Hour of Power, and he would always say, Dennis, tell that story from Seeds of Greatness again. And I, every time I went on his show, he made me tell the Seeds of Greatness story where I was supposed to be on American Airlines Flight 191 in 1980, and this Catholic priest and I missed the flight. And I said some profanities, and I was angry that I missed it by 10 seconds. And that was the plane that crashed in Chicago O'Hare and killed everyone aboard, and I was 10 seconds late. And he took me down, and we prayed a little bit. He said, so God wasn't finished with you quite yet, and that's why you missed the flight. But you were upset, as you shouldn't have been, because the plane left on time. And he said, you should be so grateful. So that was many, many years ago, and I've been given almost a half century longer because I missed that flight. And I always thank the Lord for giving me the opportunity to go on the positive side and not complain, not be a pity party, not be a group griper, not be a grudge collector, not be part of the naysayers. But I am very prepared for what can, will, might, ought to happen, and my family is as well. But gosh, my optimism is what keeps me healthy, and that gives me the God gives me the pharmacy that will keep me healthier by having faith. And having faith gives you the pharmacy of not only protecting your immune system and always releasing the positive hormones like beta endorphin and the endorphins, and also all the great things that keep me optimistic and going. It gives me the biology of hope. And so I remain an optimist no matter what, because everything, every invention that has ever been invented by a human being has been to fill a need, solve a problem, or help mitigate a challenge. No invention that I know of has ever been invented to make money and get rich. It's all been to serve a need that has been placed in front of us so that we can rise up to the challenge and solve the problems because of the gift we've been given by God to be able to think, reason, and then act in a positive way.
Beautifully said. So true. Would you be, I forgot to ask you this, but we usually take questions, and people are shy, so I don't know how many we'll get, but if I was to open the phone line for questions, would that be okay with you?
Absolutely. No problem at all.
Okay. I figured you'd say that. But, okay. So if anyone out there wants to ask a question, don't be shy. We won't call you out. We won't even say hi, so-and-so, unless you identify yourself. But if you want to ask Dennis a question, or if you have a question for Robert or I, but probably Dennis, if you're on the phone, just push the star and then the number 6. And you'll show up here on my screen on the conference call line. And if you have a question that you want to ask on Facebook, just type it in, and one of us will be looking up at the screen, and we will answer your question. Unless a bunch of them come in, which never happens right at once. If a bunch of them come in, we'll have to answer it after the call. But go ahead and ask a question if you want. Click *6 if you're on the phone line, and we will answer your phone.
Well, I have a couple things I want to comment to everything you've said, Dennis, while we wait for the calls to come in. First of all, you talk about your age.
Yeah.
And I want you to know that Moses was 80 years old when God called him to lead the Israelites into the wilderness. And he was 120 years old when he died. The Bible says that man's, literally, this is what it says, man's day shall not be forever. They shall be 120 years. So I think you have, what, 33 years before you have to worry? And so the best years are ahead. That's the first thing I wanted to say. Then the next thing I wanted to say, people who are the seniors who are concerned about the virus, Don and I have been students of health and wellness for a very long time, and we have been told that one of the main reasons that people, that the seniors have a problem with this virus is because of the acid in their stomach.
The lack of stomach acid.
The lack of stomach acid, the right kinds of acid. And so I actually take a product. It's called Spectrazine Metagest. I don't know if you can see it there.
I had no idea he was going to do this.
No.
This isn't a sales.
No. Sales, oh, shucks. I can't get it in.
No.
All I can get is glare.
I'll take a picture of it and post it on a Facebook.
There you go.
Afterwards.
And it's a stomach acid support, and it will definitely help.
It's hydrochloric acid is what it is, and we usually lack that as we age. And it has to do, it's a very complex, not that complex, but it's a biological process. It has to do with our glutathione levels, and there's a lot of studies that show that older people have very low glutathione levels, partly because they don't have enough hydrochloric acid in their gut. So anyway, that's a whole other thing. I had no idea you were going to do that. I'll send you go over and grab this bottle, but I'm a nutritionist.
Yeah, but that's a good thing because it's a positive, it's a positive statement. For example, somebody asked me how I wash my hands, and I said, I wash my hands often with hot soap and water, and I do it like a surgeon does. I've been in the hospital. You two probably don't need to know it for sure, but I had several near-death experiences over the past year and a half where a surgeon made a surgical error, and he cut my femoral artery by mistake, and I nearly bled out on the operating table in 2018. And so I've had five or six operations. I've had many infections. In fact, I even had my heart infected after I got a new heart valve so I could live to be 120, as Robert said. Got a new heart valve all ready to go, and sure enough, the infection as a result of the surgical error caused my new heart valve to be infected, and I nearly died because of that. So I've had reasons to say many prayers and to have my personal relationship with the Lord really, really keyed up with where the volume is up, and we're conversing quite a bit. Having said that, I'm feeling great. I'm living in a ranch with two of my daughters and their families. I'm having a great time doing webinars all over the world, maybe not traveling as much, but I'm feeling really good, and I am. When I wash my hands, for example, I do what the surgeons do. After all, the reason I just said what I said is I've watched so many surgeons wash their hands lately over the past year and a half as they're ready to operate on me, that what you do when you wash your hands, and children should do it too, you just sing happy birthday to yourself. So that takes 20 seconds to sing that song. And that's how long you should wash your hands with hot soap and water to make sure you don't have any virus. So just sing happy birthday as you're washing your hands. And that's what I'm doing.
And that's happy too.
It's great.
Yeah. And it's happy. We have a
No, we don't have anybody.
Oh, sorry.
No, that's him.
Oh, sorry.
He's looking at my panel.
Yeah.
He doesn't usually look at my panel. I'm the one that looks at the panel here.
Sorry.
It's okay. You know, we each have our own roles, but you know what's so funny? A friend of mine who's originally from Texas, her parents still live there, I saw something she wrote that said, wash your hands like you just chopped a jalapeno pepper before putting your contact lens in your eye.
I have to laugh. That's really a good one.
Yeah, and we chop a lot of peppers. You know, we lived part-time down in Mexico, so we eat a lot of peppers. We love spicy food, and I know that all too well. So I laughed for a day when I read that because I have put my contact lenses in thinking my hands were washed, but that pepper was left, and wow, does that burn. Wow, does that
burn.
Oh,
boy. That's a really good one. I'll definitely remember that.
Yeah, it is a good one.
Well, Donna had this pin on earlier. You couldn't see it.
On my gray.
Yeah, it disappeared on the gray. So I got this. I've got the cover of my phone, which is off, so you can see. It actually says, well, it's hard to read it because everything is a mirror image on Facebook Live. But it says fearless. The F is where my finger is, E-A-R-L-E-S-S. If you just start where my finger is and read backwards.
Yeah. It's a rhinestone brooch, a pin that I ordered many, many weeks ago before all of this happened. It says fearless on it.
And
I like it.
It's a great little pin.
It's absolutely spectacular. I'm just really thrilled. And if you wish to support our ministry and with a gift of $20, we want to send this to you as a way of us saying thank you and to encourage you to live a fearless life, because we need that today more than ever, because the media is trying to get us in a complete panic. They want us to be scared, and we don't want to live in panic, and we don't want to be scared. We want to be
fearless. We want to be fearless. I always said this morning at church, in our church service, I said, fearless, not foolish. That goes into what you were saying earlier, Dennis, about being prepared and not being a Pollyanna, not saying everything's always, always expecting the best. And I'm sure I got that from you, because I got so much from you out of that book, Seeds of Greatness, that I read over and over again. And one of the things is always expect the best. I do. I expect the best in people. If it's a matter of doubting somebody or not, and especially goes with friendships, any kind of relationship, I always expect the best. I don't always get the best, but I know I get a lot better than I would had I not expected it, had I expected the worst or expected subpar or didn't trust people. So I always expect the best, especially in my friendships. And my relationships, my marriage, my relationship with my children, and typically I get the best. I mean, not always. I mean, humans are humans, but I love expecting the best. And that same goes for your health. And, you know, Dennis, earlier you said you were saying something about being positive and being optimistic, and, you know, some people aren't sure. Well, guess what? You've earned the right to be very optimistic and very hopeful because of the years you've lived, because of the wisdom you have, because you've lived through a lot, like you said, and you've experienced these things. So you, of all people, are so respected for your optimism and for your hope and for expecting the best in people. And I want to tell you something really funny about Seeds of Greatness, and Robert knows this. One of my huge pet peeves now is when how many people end a note or end a statement by saying, now don't forget to pack your lunch, don't forget to bring your book back to school, don't forget this, don't forget that. And it's just like, oh no, remember, right? Because your mind,
yep.
Right? It's back.
Absolutely.
Right?
Well, there's a good way to explain it. And that little bit has to do with the little robot, but you can't concentrate on the reverse of an idea. So that if you're late and you remind yourself not to be late, all you are doing is reinforcing the problem. So you don't want to lose weight because you're overweight. You want to reach your desired best body weight. You don't want to not be angry because you want to be in control. So the mind cannot go in the opposite direction while looking through the rearview mirror. We always move toward our currently dominant thought every minute of every day. So I prefer to move in the direction of the desired result, the solution, good health, love, all the things that we should want should be what we dwell upon, because that which you dwell upon will be dealt with. And that's why a fear is actually a goal going in the opposite direction, but it's every much as powerful as any goal you might have. It's a motive in action, and the fear in action leads you in the exact place you didn't want to go. So I've learned that not only from people who are devout Christians. Billy Graham and I used to be really close friends, And he was always amused with me because I would do the Seeds of Greatness. When the book came out, he would have me do his warm-up act. So I was Billy Graham's warm-up act on his ministries. And he said, Dennis, tell me about your spiritual journey. And I said, you mean the Lutheran softball team and Sunday school with the Presbyterians? But my father was a Christmas Eve Catholic. My mother was Church of England. I went to the Naval Academy, which was Episcopalian. I married a Catholic, but then unfortunately, and he said, Dennis, I know that you have had your journey and the Hound of Heavens has finally found you. But what denomination are you? And I said, Dr. Graham, I was hoping you might give me a suggestion. And he said, bless you. He said, you are living the seeds of greatness, because what he would say is that when my grandma and I planted our victory garden during World War II, she told me that whatever I put in the soil and nurtured would come up as it was supposed to, but the weeds would come in without watering. And I always wondered why weeds don't need water and they blow in. So it's like bad news does not need nurturing. It is the fair of the day.
Negative.
Because it is what causes us to stop and watch. An accident on the freeway, a fire, a flood, a tornado, a hurricane, anything that's happening. And one last little thing is that the reason there is no toilet paper in Southern California or online is not because of the coronavirus, it's because of the Australian forest fires. Australian forests service the tree needs of China, which turn the pulp from the trees into paper. And when the Australian forest fires became this conflagration that we could see from outer space, the Australians ordered and got out of every bit of toilet paper there was in the world, because they knew they were no longer had the source for that, and there would be a shortage of toilet paper in the world as a result of the forest fires. What has happened is because of that, that spilled over to the hysteria and pandemonium of the coronavirus, and Americans jumped on the bandwagon and believed that toilet paper must be something that we're not going to have anything of because of the virus. And it doesn't have that much to do with protecting you from the virus, certainly not as much as things that you can put that are virus and disease, shall we say, solutions that you wash your hand with. All of those disinfectants are all sold out online and everywhere. But toilet paper was first to go, but mainly because of the Australian knee-jerk on it from their own problem they had. And that's important to know, that we do tend to go with the flow and follow the crowd.
Well, Dennis, I want to thank you for being our guest tonight. And can we have a little prayer for you before you go?
I wish we would, and I hope you lead it for me, because I need it right now.
I will. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray right now for Dennis that you will just put your protective shield around his life, that you will keep this virus away from him, that if he is exposed to it, that his immune system will eradicate it, that if he gets it, his body will defeat it, and that he can live for another 10, 20, 33 years. And so we declare, oh Lord, victory in the life of Dennis, victory of fearlessness, victory of life, victory of vitality, and victory of love. So be with him. Just touch his mind and his heart. And so we thank you, Lord, for his gift that he gave us tonight. We love you, Lord. Amen, amen. And amen.
And Dennis, before you jump off, I almost forgot to tell people, to connect with Dennis, go to his website. He has a free gift for you. It's going to be a book. You don't want to miss this free gift. So it's Dennis Waitley, and it's D-E-N-I-S. Waitley. So there's only one N in his Dennis, denniswaitley.com/free gift. Do that. And you'll be glad you did, especially now when people are so panicked. And you know that's going to be great. I'm going to go on and get the gift for sure.
Yeah.
So we love you, well, Dennis.
Well, I love you both. I have for many, many years, and I'm feeling great. I'm looking forward. And when I wake up every day, I say, thanks, Lord, safe again. Let's go. And I always say, who can I help with a positive thought and a positive message? How can I help someone on this glorious day that you gave me again? And that's what I do. And I'm telling you, it's one of the best things you can do.
Yes, it is.
That's the opposite of a virus.
Yeah.
It is. And you know what? You have helped a lot of people tonight and given them a lot of hope. And when we post this on our podcast, and it'll continue to be on Facebook, and it'll continue to be on our YouTube channel once we post it there, you're going to help many more with this amazing message that is so timely. It's timeless, I should say. It's timeless. So thank you so very much, Dennis. We'll be in touch.
And you're welcome, and I love you, and it won't be as long. I won't let as much time get in between us again.
I hope not. Okay.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
God bless you, and good night or good day, whatever, whenever people hear this.
Good morning, depending upon where they're watching.
Yeah.
We're
but
all
God here. Bless it. God bless all, everyone on your call.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so Thank much. You. We'll talk soon.
Talk soon, yeah.
Talk soon.
Thank you.
So we've got this beautiful pen. When you look at it on Facebook, it's reversed. So start reading where my finger is, and it says F-E-A-R-L-E-S-S.
And it's hard, bright. Oh, there. It's really sparkly.
Yeah, it's
really
very
pretty.
Sparkly, but unfortunately it doesn't work very good in this light. But it says Fearless, and we want to give this to you. We're asking for a gift of $20, and we'll send you this beautiful little pen. And Donna, can you explain how we make
this? Well, there's many ways to make an offering. It's for an offering, and we are a church, so it is tax deductible under, you know, California and U.S. law. But we're 501c3. We're better than that. We're a church. So we have a lot of people that are online right now to thank because they do support us. This is all we do. We're full-time pastors. This isn't a hobby. We do this. When we're not on this call, we're every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific time. We have a church service. When we're not doing that, Robert and I go around the nation and around the world, actually, to different churches. Unfortunately, the one next weekend canceled. We were supposed to be in Palm Springs, but that's okay. It's meant to be. So the way you want to give an offering, if you'd like to do that, you can go over to the side of our Facebook page, and it says Notes. And if you click on Notes, it'll come right up there, and there's a link to give there. You can do it the old-fashioned way and mail a check to 2128 Bay Point Drive, in Newport Beach, California, 92660. Or you can actually, let's see, you can go to drschuler.org, and there's a donate button at the very bottom of the front page. So there's four different ways to give. Probably the easiest, if you're on Facebook and if you feel so inclined to give anything at all, you just go over to the notes section, click on notes, it's on the left, and you'll see it. It'll pop up. Unfortunately, Facebook is, I don't know, we're undergoing some kind of censoring. We can't put our donate button back. We tried for 6 months. So.
And then our 555-888 number has been discontinued.
Yeah, the telephone company has stopped the
six digit.
So we do have a phone number for text messaging, but, you know, that's a little much for right now for all of you who are on. So just the best way is just to go on Facebook, over to the left and notes, or go to drschuler.org. And, you know, we thank all of you for all of your gifts because we couldn't do what we do, like I said, full time without them. So anyway, we're just doing whatever God calls us to do. We're just trying to instill and inspire hope. And, you know, just like Dennis said, just, you know, expecting the best in situations and people and not being Pollyannish, not sticking our head in the sand. We take really proactively good care of ourselves, and we build our immune systems. And that's what we do. We do everything we can to remain healthy. So we take responsibility for our own health. We don't expect other people to take care of our health. And
well, some of the things we do is we get regular chiropractic adjustments. We know that boosts your immune system up to 200%.
Yeah.
It's really important.
There's actually scientific
proof. Like I said, I take the Metagest, which helps support my acid, hydrochloric acid. But I call it Metagest because that's the product that we use. And we take vitamin C, and we take others.
I take my Euphoria. I take
Euphoria, something
else.
Great
for me, for my DNA, which I love. I've been so great on that. I wouldn't be without it.
So anyway, if you have any questions about that, please connect with us, and we'll help you in that journey. Remember that God loves you. We love you. And if it's the 15th of every month.
It's time for the call. So we'd love to have you on the 15th of every month.
6 p.m.
Pacific time. Pacific time. So if you came on late and missed the beginning of the interview with Dennis, you do not want to miss. This is one of our most powerful interviews with a man that's been around 87 years,
he said.
87 years. And if you heard his voice, I mean, not only is his mind so sharp, he's articulate, he's sharp, he's young sounding, you know, and that has a lot to do with his whole mental attitude and his faith. His faith in God is strong. So if you missed any part of this, you're going to want to go back and listen when I post it here and when we post it in a minute. And join us next, the 15th of next month, which will be
April.
It'll be after Easter. So it's Lent now and coming up on Palm Sunday in a couple weeks and then Easter. And you know what? All of you are in our prayers, our country's in our prayers, the world's in our prayers. And we love you all so much, and we want the best for you. So you know what? I think the takeaway tonight is just always expect the best. Be prepared, but always expect the best outcomes, because whatever you think in your mind, your body reacts to and hears. And you're going to have a lot better chance of staying healthy if you think good thoughts. And if you watch too much news, turn it off, because it's just going to make you stress out and weird out. Listen to some amazing praise music. Listen to lovely things. Visit your grandchildren. You know, there's people on here that have grandchildren like we do. We have 6 and number 7 and 8 on the way. There's nothing better than just getting down on the floor and building a train with one of your grandkids, or taking them to a park and letting them run around. Put your cell phone down. Put the news down. But anyway,
live life.
Yeah, live life.
God bless you, everybody.
He is life.
And have a great night, a great week, a great month, until we get together again.
Yeah.
God loves you, and so do we.
Yes.
Bye-bye.
We do. Bye.